Welcome to Beauty by the Book for Teens. I am so excited that you're going to join me and a great group of girls from my home church, Sagemont Church in Houston, Texas, as we begin a 7-week study about beauty. You know, it's really easy to see what the culture thinks about beauty and how they define it. You know, it's all about perfection, the perfect face, the perfect makeup, the perfect clothes, and of course, the perfect size and the perfect weight. But I want to ask you a question. Is the culture's definition of beauty true, or is it a trap? Well, in this first session of Beauty by the Book, we're going to answer those questions, and we're going to define what true beauty really is, biblical beauty. So join me right now for a great session on Beauty by the Book for Teens. Well, girls, the culture is telling us all kinds of stuff about what beauty really looks like, isn't it? Look at all the magazine covers, look at all the movie stars and all the singers and things like that. There's always a succession of kind of it girls. The culture has defined beauty forever and ever and ever. And there's always a new definition when it comes to the culture about what real beauty is. I remember even when I was just a little bitty girl, I wasn't even in school yet. I would go over to my grandmother's house and there were these pictures on the walls, these two, I thought, absolutely stunning women. And I used to look at those pictures of these women and they had these beautiful hairdos and they had beautiful flawless skin and rosy cheeks. And girls, they had a beautiful shape, if you know what I mean. They just had these beautiful, beautiful figures. And I would look at those two women and those two pictures and I would think, I want to look like them when I grow up. I hope those women are my relatives. Well, girls, those women were not my relatives. It turns out those women on my grandmother's wall were the very first it girls of their day and time. Around the turn of the century in the 1900s, there were these women that graced all the magazine covers back then, and they were called the Gibson Girls. And you ought to write that down and Google the Gibson Girls someday and just see what they look like. They were it. They set the standard for what beauty really was back then. And everybody wanted to look like the Gibson Girls. And I imagine women went to the beauty shop and got their hair styled like that and they began to dress like them. And that's kind of where it all started with all these it girls. Well, that didn't last too long for me because when I got to be about 11 or 12 years old, a new it girl became my it girl. And she was big all across the United States. She was a little blonde model, a little runway model who was from England. And she didn't have much of a real, like a shape. She was straight, up and down. She was stick skinny. She had short blonde hair and she wore lots and lots of eye makeup and mascara. She was called Twiggy. And nobody was ever named better than she was because she was just a little twig skinny of a girl. And I loved Twiggy. And Twiggy became my it girl. She became for me the definition of what real beauty was. So I had my mother take me to the beauty shop and I had her cut my hair off in a little pixie haircut just like Twiggy's. And I thought I was Twiggy. So I lived like that for a couple of years until the next it girl came out. And this it girl came out in the 70s and she was on TV. She was a TV star along with two other exceptionally beautiful women, I thought, but this girl was the it girl. She had her hair all kind of feathered back. She had long, beautiful, frosted hair. And she was a girl on a show called Charlie's Angel. And she became the it girl of the whole nation. Men had pinup posters of her. Teenage boys had pictures of her in their room. Her name was Farrah Fawcett and she was the it girl. And I went to that beauty shop and I got them to cut my hair in a layer and I began to try to look and act like Farrah Fawcett, you know, on Charlie's Angels. Girls, she was my definition of beauty. Well, around the 80s, when I became in my 20s, I had children. And I really don't remember who the it girl was then because I was busy with babies and things like that. But you probably remember, or you may remember it because this is an it girl who still is an it girl. There was a girl, and she was a rock singer, and she still is, and she came out, and she just absolutely turned turned things upside down. She taught us how to wear underwear as outerwear, okay? She set a whole new standard for beauty. This girl's name is Madonna, and she's still around. And every few years, she reinvents herself, and she becomes kind of a new it girl, a new standard for beauty. Maybe you remember her. I'm sure you remember her today. She's gotten older, but she is still kind of setting a standard. I don't keep up with all the it girls too much right now, but you think with me. Who's on the cover of the magazines today? Who are the it girls that you see that are real popular where you are? You know they're out there and they just kind of change. There was Britney Spears who came and kind of went. There's Christina Aguilera. And there will be more and more and more. And every time a new it girl arises, the culture has a new definition of what beauty looks like. Well, girls, the culture's definition of beauty is always going to change. And if I begin to pursue that, it's going to end up eventually being something that I cannot attain because another it girl's going to come and she's going to replace that. We're going to look in this session, this very first session of Beauty by the Book, we're going to look at physical beauty versus biblical beauty. Okay, how is the world's definition, the culture's definition of beauty, different from God's definition of beauty? Okay, does God's definition of beauty change? Does it morph like the culture's definition? Well, you probably already know. God's word does not change. True beauty, God's definition of beauty, does not change. So we're going to look in this first session at the difference between physical beauty, the culture's definition of beauty, and God's definition of beauty. But I want to ask you a question, okay? I'm going to give you a sentence, and I want you to fill in the blank, okay? Here's the sentence. I could be beautiful if. What would you put in that blank? I could be beautiful if. I don't know. Maybe some of you think, I could be beautiful if I could trade these thighs for somebody else's thighs. Maybe you think, I could be beautiful if I could just, you know, get my hair flat ironed and just perfect and just straight and all this kind of stuff. Maybe you think, well, I could be beautiful if I could just lose 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 pounds and be the perfect weight, the perfect size. Well, girls, I don't know what you put in that blank, but whatever you did put in that blank in your mind, I want to tell you, it is a lie. It's a lie. Let me read to you from the book of Psalms what the Bible says about your beauty. It's a psalm, and it's found in Psalm 45:11, and you don't have to turn there in your Bibles, but it is a prophetic psalm about Jesus, okay, about Jesus, who is our King. And he says this, says, your King, Jesus Christ, delights in your beauty. Girls, your Savior, your Lord, your King delights in your beauty. He looks at you and he says, she's beautiful. She's beautiful because he created you. Psalm 139 says, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made, and the King delights in your beauty. What the culture's telling you about what beauty is, it's just a trap. It's not the truth. So let's look at where all this started. Where did this lie begin, okay? And what I want you to do is to turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to go back and find out where the lie began, who began to teach us the wrong things about beauty. And it's really, really interesting because this passage is a passage, listen girls, it is a passage about your enemy and mine, Satan. And it is a passage about the fall of Satan, who used to be an archangel. He used to be an archangel, but what happened to him? We know he fell. He fell because he sinned. What was it that caused him to fall? What was it that made him slip up and sin? And I want you to look with me in Ezekiel chapter 28. And here's the first thing you're going to see about physical beauty, okay? And this is on your listening guide. Physical beauty, first of all, it is God-given. And in Ezekiel 28, verse 12, it says this, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre. Now, the king of Tyre is a reference to Satan, okay? Take up a lament against Satan, he's saying, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says about you. You were, past tense, you were the model of perfection, okay? Now, he had perfect beauty. He was a model of perfection. You think those runway models, you think those cover girls and those models are perfect? Listen, Satan was a model of perfection physically. He was a created being, and God had created him as a model of perfection. He was even, it says, full of wisdom. And listen to this, perfect in beauty. Girls, he had it going on. And that's the way God created him. And so what I want you to see, first of all, about physical beauty, it is God-given. Okay? God creates us. God makes us. And he looks on his creation and he says, you are
beautiful. You are beautiful. Physical beauty is God-given. So physical beauty is not a bad thing. But look what happened, and as this kind of passage begins to unfold. Look at verse 13 and 14. It says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone adorned you." And it lists them there. And it says, "On the day you were created, your apparel basically was created for you, was prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub." Now that means he had a high position in the angelic host. Okay, he had a very high position in the angelic host. "You were anointed as the guardian cherubs, for so I ordained you. And you," listen, "were on the very holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones." That means you walked among the angelic host. You were a leader. God put him there as a leader on the mount with himself, and he made him a leader there. And so we see there, the second thing about physical beauty is this. Number two, physical beauty will get you attention. People will notice it, okay? Physical beauty is attention getting. People will notice physical beauty. They do, okay? Even Satan was noticed. He was perfect in beauty, and he had a leadership role, and others looked to him. Okay, he got noticed. He got recognition. And it says that there that he was walked among the fiery stones, that he was a leader there. Physical beauty is attention getting. But thirdly, listen to this. Look at verse 15. It says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until" what? "Wickedness was found in you." Now drop down to verse 17. He says, "Your heart became proud on account of your" what? Beauty. That's what it says. Your heart got all proud because you were so pretty, because you were so beautiful. Your heart got proud. Girls, listen, here's the dangerous thing about pursuing biblical beauty and making that your goal. Yes, it's God-given, and yes, it will get you attention. But number three, and here's where it gets real dangerous, when you begin to pursue physical beauty, it's pride-inducing. It makes you proud, okay? You feel, look at me, I am all that. And that's what began Satan's ultimate fall, okay? He got proud of look at me, at all of his beauty. And we've seen people like this. All of us have seen people like this. It just is something that we want to look good. Nothing bad about looking good. But I'll tell you what happens sometimes to some girls is beauty goes to where? Goes to their head, doesn't it? And what we see here is that's exactly what happened to Satan. And then finally we see there in the last, in the next passage there, it says, "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom." Even his wisdom, he had bad judgment, girls. Listen, you get caught up in the world's definition of beauty, I don't care how wise you are, it will cause you to become corrupted, and your wisdom will even not help you be able to avoid a fall. It says, "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings." Number four about physical beauty. Girls, it is spiritually corrupting. If you begin to pursue it and you make it, okay, it will turn out to become spiritually corrupting for you. Now, I think this is a real interesting passage because here's the truth. Listen, the culture's definition of beauty, this ever-changing definition that just makes us want to dress this way, one way, look like this person, one way. Listen, all this originated, I really do believe, this lie about what beauty really is, it originated back here. You know, sometimes we think that the original sin occurred in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. But girls, the original sin began in the heavenly host when Satan's heart got all proud and he was the original sinner, okay? And guess what took him down? Getting all about himself and getting all about, look how beautiful I am. And girls, ever since that time, I believe what took him down, okay? What took him down was him getting so proud about his beauty. What took him down is what he wants to use to take you down. He wants you to become all obsessed, just like the culture is, about the perfect size, the perfect weight, the perfect makeup, the perfect clothes. This is the definition of beauty this year. Next year it's going to change, and that's all you're about. And girls, that is shallow, shallow, shallow. And not only is it shallow, it is a lie. And it will absolutely spiritually corrupt you. He wants to use exactly what took him down to take you and to take me down as well.
Well, what about biblical beauty? And that's what this study, Beauty by the Book for Teens, is all about. It's about biblical beauty. What is the definition of biblical beauty? Well, we're going to be looking at that in the weeks ahead, but how is it different from physical beauty? Well, first of all, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look there at the definition of biblical beauty. What does it look like? How is it different from physical beauty and the world's definition of beauty? In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Well, go up to verse 3. And he's speaking to women here, and he says this, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment." That means your clothes and your makeup and your hair and all that. That's not really where your true beauty ought to come from. Now, girls, I'm not going to tell you not to wear makeup, okay? And I'm not, obviously, I wear makeup. I'm not going to tell you to not look good, okay? But he's saying there is something more important than what's on the outside, okay? And you and I have all known really good-looking guys and good-looking girls on the outside, and yet you get to know them, and it's just not a pretty picture, is it, really, on the inside? And he's saying, here's what the truth is. Your beauty shouldn't be all about what's on the outside. Instead, he says in verse 4, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. First thing about biblical beauty, and this is in your notes, is that biblical beauty, like physical beauty, it's God-given, okay? And as I said earlier, God created you. He made you beautiful, and He delights in your beauty. Biblical beauty is God-given. But secondly, biblical beauty we see in verse 4 is gentle and quiet, okay? It's gentle and quiet. Physical beauty will get you noticed. It'll get you attention, okay? But biblical beauty doesn't try to get noticed, okay? Biblical beauty is gentle and quiet, but I'll tell you what. It will get you noticed because it is so rare. We're going to study a young woman in the next few weeks when we get to week 3 called the Captivating Woman. And we're going to study a young woman in the Old Testament called Ruth. And girl, she wasn't setting out to get noticed, okay? She wasn't setting out to say, look at me. But people noticed her nonetheless. And it is an amazing story. You're going to see that biblical beauty really is gentle and quiet and doesn't seek this attention. Number 3, biblical beauty is precious in God's sight. We see that there, that God says that it is of great worth in His sight there in verse 4. What does that mean, that it's precious in God's sight? Girls, that means that it's rare, okay? Something that's precious is something that is rare, something that is valuable, okay? Something that God prizes. And so what that's saying is that biblical beauty is rare. But girls, let me tell you something. Biblical beauty may be rare, but it's not extinct. You just don't see it much in our culture, but it's not extinct. It's just rare, and it's precious in God's sight. Well, number 4, the thing about biblical beauty is this, is, girls, that it is unfading and eternal. It is unfading, and it's eternal. We see in 1 Peter 3, 4, it says that it's of great worth, and it also says it should be, the beauty that you have should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty. Right now, girls, y'all are all so beautiful and young. You have no wrinkles on your face, okay? You can't appreciate probably right now what this verse is saying. But what this verse is saying to this 52-year-old grandmother is this, is that biblical beauty gets more beautiful with age, okay? It does not fade. Listen, physical beauty fades. Proverbs 31:30 says that physical beauty is fleeting, okay? It's fleeting. But the promise of biblical beauty is this, is that if you pursue biblical beauty, you can become more and more biblically beautiful the older you get. And honey, I'm clinging to that fact. Listen, you can become more and more beautiful the older you get if you will pursue biblical beauty, because it is unfading and it is eternal. Well, you've seen the world's definition of beauty, and you've seen that it's going to always be changing. But God's definition is very, very different. And His standard is going to remain the same because it is true. It is true. But let me ask you a question. How can you become a biblically beautiful young woman? How do you do that? What do you do? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27:4. Psalm 27:4, and this is such a great verse. And I want you to look at it with me. And you may even want to underline it in your Bible. In Psalm 27:4, the psalmist says this, one thing I have asked from the Lord. Now listen, if you could ask God one thing, what would that one thing be?
I don't know what that would be, but here's what the psalmist says. The one thing, if I could only ask God one thing, here's what I would ask. And this is incredible. One thing I've asked from the Lord, and that I shall not only ask, I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to seek it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Girls, how can you become a biblically beautiful woman? How can you become a biblically beautiful young woman? Well, girls, you've got to become obsessed. You've got to become passionate about pursuing one thing, and that is passionate about your relationship with God, okay? Getting up close and personal with Him. And there are two ways that you get up close and personal with God to behold His beauty. You do it, first of all, by establishing a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no man can come to the Father God except by me. Listen, He proved on a cross how much He loved us, but He laid down His life to pay the price for our sins. He died, He rose again, and the Bible says this, that listen, all of us are sinners and we need a Savior. We need a connection to God, and Jesus is that connection. And until you make a connection with God, really, through His Son, Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to behold God and to pursue God in a way that you really can get close to Him and observe His standards. So I would ask you, have you ever received the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ, so that you can have a connection to God, and so that you can behold God and begin to understand and know Him a way that you can know His standard? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? That's the first step in becoming a biblically beautiful woman, and it is essential, okay? It's essential. The second step is this. The second step is that you've got to get into His Word. Girls, you got to know what this book says. If you want to behold the Lord and know what His standard is, you've got a book right here. You've got His Word. You've got His written Word. And you can know what His standard is, and you can know His definition of beauty by getting into God's Word. And for the next few weeks, that's exactly what you're going to do in this study. You're going to be getting into God's Word, and you're going to see His standard. You're going to meet some women through this study, and they're going to show you what God's standard for biblical beauty is. So you've got to establish a relationship with God, and then you've got to make time and give His Word priority so that you can behold His standard. Well, the question I ask you is, how can you become a biblically beautiful young woman? Well, the answer is this, by beholding, okay? By beholding God and upholding the standard of His Word. By beholding God and upholding the standard of His Word. And over the next 6 weeks, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to study God's standard. I was in the dentist's office not long ago, and my dentist was talking to me while he had, you know, all the stuff in my mouth and stuff. And he said, hey, I heard you're writing this study about beauty. And he said, you know, I guess women just never get too old to care about what they look like, to care about beauty and stuff. He said, you know, my grandmother's in her 80s. She lives out in a little old bitty tiny East Texas town. And once a week, she likes to go to the grocery store. And he said, my niece goes and gets her and usually takes her. And she showed up the first week she was supposed to go do this duty, taking her great-grandmother to the grocery store. And she went inside the house. She couldn't find her grandmother in the kitchen. She wasn't in the den. And so she went back to her bedroom, and she saw her great-grandmother there in her great-grandmother's bedroom. And girls, she was dolled up. She had her makeup perfect. She had her hair all coiffed and just beautiful. She was dressed to the nines. And that little great-niece said this. She said, why are you getting so dolled up just to go to the little old bitty grocery store? And you know what that great-grandmother told her? She stood up and she said this, well, somebody's got to set the standard. You know what? That great-grandmother is right. Girls, somebody's got to set the standard for what true beauty really is. And what I'm calling and what I'm encouraging you to do in your schools and in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your colleges, listen, I'm encouraging you to be a young woman who will set a standard for what true beauty is, for what biblical beauty is. I want you to study in the next few weeks God's standards, to behold His standards, to behold the Lord, and I want you to go out and set that standard in this culture. I encourage you, hang in with me for the next few weeks, get into God's Word, and you're going to see His standard, and you're going to be transformed into a biblically beautiful young woman. Let's pray. God, I thank You for every single one of these young women, for all those that are watching the video. Father, I pray for them as well. And Lord, I pray that You would just help them to see the truth
and Father, not get trapped in the lie. Father, I pray that they would be passionate about pursuing you and getting into your word in the weeks ahead. Lord, I pray they would give you and they would give your word priority, oh God, that they would seek you first, that they would love you most, and that, Father, as they get into your word, that you would begin to do a supernatural work in their lives and in their hearts and in their minds and transform them, Father, as they behold you and behold your standard into biblically beautiful young women who will set the standard for what true beauty is for the rest of their lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.